Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman faced a parent's worst fear, the death of their 5-year-old daughter, Maria. But they never gave up on their faith in God, and they kept clinging to the hope of Jesus Christ even when they hit rock bottom. Today, we're going to wind the clock back and hear the conclusion of their powerful testimony of how the Lord walked them through this terrible and tragic situation.
Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to wind the clock back and enjoy the conclusion of a classic interview between my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and Grammy Award-winning Christian artist Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife, Mary Beth. Many of you are familiar with the tragic accident that took the life of the Chapman's 5-year-old daughter, Maria, just over 7 years ago. And for those of you who've been with us for the past two programs, you know how inspiring and moving this story is. I've kept a box of tissue close at hand because you can't help but become emotional as this amazing couple shows how God led them through the darkest moments of their lives. Well, today, we're going to re-air the conclusion of our interview with the Chapmans about how God is present with us even in the darkest of circumstances. But before we get to the program, I want to let you know that if you're in a painful and emotional season of life and you need someone to talk to, Family Talk is here for you. We'd be happy to pray with you and to connect you with a counselor in your area who can help. Visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825 to speak with someone today. Again, our number is 877-732-6825. Let's get to the program with Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman on today's classic edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Sometimes grief is so great and it's so difficult, even when walking with the God of all comfort. I can't imagine how people that don't know him go through it.
Well, I'm sure, Ryan, that there are people listening to us right now who are going through that kind of difficult time in their lives, and they're not sure that they're going to make it, even though they're Christians. I'm so glad that they've tuned in, because we're joined again today by a wonderful couple that we've come to respect and love deeply. And they've walked through what might be the single most difficult thing any human being may have to face, burying one of their children. And yet they've done it with dignity and grace and a faith that is really just astounding to many. Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman were with us last time, and they're back today, and it's a pleasure to have you here.
Well, we're excited
to be
with you.
We're excited to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, Stephen and Mary Beth, we heard last time and the day before about the tragic loss of your youngest daughter, Maria Sue, in a car accident that happened in your own driveway. In fact, one of your sons was the one driving the car. And Mary Beth, you've now written a book about your experience, and you called it Choosing to See. Explain that title.
Well, as you'll notice, the C part of that book, the S-E-E, is written in an odd font, and that is little Maria's handiwork. She was an artist by trade. No, she and Stevie Joy had...
She was five years old,
and she and her sister had art tables side by side in the dining room, and they would glue and tape and paste and glitter and glue and tape, and Maria had the special glue factor going. She had, she was a big sticky slobbery mess on most days. But immediately after the accident, the prayer became, okay, God, we have to see you in this. And in particular for my husband and the boys and the men of our family, Tanner and Caleb and Will and Stephen and all the men, just praying and crying out to God, God, you've got to show us you in this. We have to see you. Show us something. Show us Maria. Let us have a dream. We need to see you so that we can just cling to something. Because I personally felt like I was just in a free fall of, I immediately was free falling through, is there a God? God, where are you? Did you sneeze? Did you look the other way? Did you, what is going on? And Because in those immediate hours, you're just, you know, I was shaking my fists and I'm having those thoughts like, I can't argue against God. Wait, he created me. He knows I'm full of tenacity, so he can handle my anger, right? And just all these things going on. And he's just praying, God, we need to see you. We need to see you. And the very next day after Maria passed, we had to go to our house for a while to get some things for the memorial service. And I wanted some of her things to be at the service so her friends could just, you know, see your things and it'd be a little more personal. And Stephen, I'm going to let you finish that story because you're the one that found the artwork.
Yeah. Well, I went into the dining room where these little art tables that my wife was talking about, and all were cleaned up and had been before the accident. They had nothing out except one piece of paper on Maria's side that was laying on this table. And the first thing I noticed was it was her little flower. She loved to draw a six-petal little flower, and she would always color the center of it orange, and then usually she would color each petal a different color. But this time, the flower was drawn there, and I knew it had to have been drawn the morning of the accident. And but only one petal was colored in, the blue petal, which was she loved blue. And the rest of them were blank. And then, which is the flowers on the cover of the book right there. Then I noticed something on the back of the paper bleeding through because it was written, she had been drawing and writing with markers. And so I turned the paper over, and there was, first thing I saw was a little butterfly that she had drawn. And then beside that, she had written a word. And Maria was five. She had just turned five. She was finishing preschool, and she'd learned to write, "I love Mom, I love Dad," and she could write her name, Maria Sue. But she'd never written any other words to our knowledge. But written on the back of this paper, she'd written the three letters S-E-E. She'd written the word C. And for me, it was just immediate sense of God whispering through that. You know, I gave Maria this word. I left this for you from her. And I could almost hear her, too, saying, "Dad, see, it's everything you said it would be. It's just as you told us." You know, there's a story that Mary Beth shares in the book. And I wrote a song about February 20th, just 2-3 months earlier, before she went to heaven. Maria had asked her mom one morning, getting ready for preschool, if God really did have a big, big house with lots of rooms. And then she said, is there really a lot of food there? And her mom realized that she was quoting the words of a song, a very popular Christian song called Big House by Audio Adrenaline. And she was getting ready for her preschool graduation, and Mary Beth thought, I bet she's learning that song for school. So this carried them into a conversation about Maria just looked at her mom and said, well, Mary Beth explained, yes, God does have a big house and has a lot of rooms and a lot of food. And Mary Beth actually kind of went to the next line in the song and said, and there's a big yard where you can play football. And Maria looked at her like, how did you know that, Mom? She said, are you learning a song at school? And she explained, and Maria said, well, Mom, I want to go to God's big house.
She said,
she was 4 years old.
Yeah. And she said, I want to go see God's big, how do you get there? And Mary Beth, you may want to take the story over now. I don't know. But at that point, Mary Beth began to talk to her about it, and then she called. I was at home, and I heard my name being called. And
I said, let's go find Daddy. I didn't want to mess up the sinner's prayer. That's what I always said. Okay, wait. I want to make sure this is, you know, let's go find Stephen Kirsch Chapman.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's how I say it in the book, to be a little more humorous. But I go, Maria, let's go talk to Dad. Let's make sure we have all of our bases covered. But at 4 years old, just these simple childlike faith questions. And so I carried her downstairs and sat her on the kitchen counter, and Stephen came in and I said, Maria's got something to ask you. And she just looked up with that little wrinkled nose and she said, I want to know how to go to God's big, big house. How do you get there? And so Stephen proceeded in the most four-year-old way that he could to tell her about how it is that you can go to God's big, big house.
It reminds me when our daughter was seven and Shirley was giving her a bath, and for some reason she asked all the right questions about sex at 7 years of age. And I was in the other part of the house, Shirley said to Danae, I'll be right back. And she ran to me and said, I need you. And so that preceded a lengthy conversation.
Yeah, we have one of those.
I say that we're making it through day by day, and I did go on a free fall, and I tell people I did land on a very, very solid foundation of Christ, but I face planted. I don't know that I necessarily landed feet up. It was not a pretty fall. But I can say 2 years after, that her life was very meaningful, and that the day we,
said goodbye to her.
The day that we put her little shell, that's what we call Maria, since she's not there, we told the little girls we were just burying her shell, but the day we planted her shell, and I sat with my son, and we listened to our pastor say that we were planting the seed of her life. I can say 2 years later that it is, spring is coming, and it won't fully be here until we're face-to-face with her again, but that we have seen the beginning signs of what her life brought, and that she did live a full life, and that people have honored her, and that people have been moved by her story and our story, and watching our son go through what no parent would want to watch their son go through. I sat there with him and asked Stephen after the funeral if I could just sit with him for a few minutes. And I talk about it in the blogging of my book, but just to say it, you know what? We're going to get through this. It's not going to be pretty, but it's going to be okay. I've been pretty stubborn my whole life. and the book is not just about, you'll find very quickly that the book can stop it. The book,
did I say
you have
amen?
To be
yeah.
stubborn okay. to marry a musician, okay?
I was yes. stubborn.
but I've been stubborn from the womb, I think, and my dad and mom would, and I was a surprise, and so I was probably a little spoiled, and I don't know, but what all made me who I am. But the book really needed to be about my life, because there's a lot in the book that's that whole struggle of with God, and how I really felt like he needed a fourth member of the Trinity, and that I knew everything that I needed and wanted and planned and had this nice little, you know, planned out life, and the wrestling match of mm-hmm. all of my life that he's taken me on. And you know, even some of the fun things that are in the book, the rafting down the Nile River, which I don't know how that didn't get edited out, but it's still in there. Yeah, it's yeah. still in there. But all parts of my life have been some one way or the other, it's been not what I've planned. Mm-mm. And just with the culmination of it being the accident, that's definitely not what you want, and no. it's not what you'd planned. But moving forward, then how do you take what I would call a treasure? She was a treasure when she was with me, so she's even more of a treasure now, because I have tangible treasure, is what I say, in heaven. Yeah. And I even tell people, you know, I don't know how God's economy works in heaven, but a whole lot of Chinese children went to heaven on the day of that earthquake, and maybe he needed a little extra help. She's up there organizing all the Chinese children that went home on the day
I
of the earthquake.
I wish I could have met that little girl.
She was spunky.
I love little girls, and this is why I wrote Bringing
yes.
Up Girls.
Yes,
and,
she was very
She sounds
special.
Like one I would really have loved.
You yeah. can't forget her, and I think that's why she left her mark on so many people, and yeah. she was so close to so many people, and a lot of our friends claimed ownership, and it did take a whole tribe to keep us sane with her. But anyway, all that to say is we feel like we are honoring her by stewarding the story of her life and the ongoing work of Marie's Big House and Show Hope in the book. Is just to, if there's anybody out there, God kind of on the last period said, I took you on this journey so you could figure some things out, and so you could really see me and choose to see me in all of this, in all of your life. And now it's finished, and you know, you're going to touch some people with your story, and you can just sit back and watch what I choose to do, and I don't have
and
to strive.
He's doing it through
he's
this book. Mm-hmm. Stephen, Mary Beth mentioned your song "Spring Is Coming," and I happen to have the lyrics of that in my materials here today.
Yeah.
And I just scooted it over to you and asked if you would read it to us, or sing it, or pray it, or anything
pray
you want to
yeah.
do.
This is. And in fact, it is how the book ends as well. The last chapter is "Spring is coming," because this has been the hope that has kept us breathing on days that we just didn't even want to breathe anymore, and it was really, as she said, Mary Beth said, really began there at the the gravesite as we planted the seed, as our pastor Scotty yes. Smith and dear friend said, and that, you know, Scripture talks about that. You know, it's planted in corruption, but raised incorruptible. And you know, we yeah. trust that that harvest is coming. And so I wrote these words: we planted the seed while the tears of our grief soaked the ground. The sky lost its sun, and the world lost its green to lifeless brown. Now the chill in the wind has turned the earth hard as stone, and silent the seed lies beneath ice and snow. And my heart's heavy now, but I'm not letting go of this hope I have that tells me spring is coming. Spring is coming, and all we've been hoping and longing for soon will appear. Spring is coming. Spring is coming. It won't be long now. It's just about here.
My goodness. Well, a few times where, as I've written something, I've said, Lord, you inspired this.
Mm.
And you were aware of it when you were writing this, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When you, Mary Beth, were talking about planting the shell, putting Maria Sue's body in the ground, I was reminded of Jesus' words in John 12:24 that says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. That kind of relates, doesn't it? Let me ask you a question. Has your view of heaven changed?
Oh.
Since this occurred?
Oh, yes.
How has it changed?
Well, I've read just about every book that I can get my hands on about heaven. Randy Alcorn's Heaven, I had to go to the kids' version. I'm just going to admit it. It got a little bit deep for me. I'm sorry. I went to the Heaven for Kids. This is on a little more basic level. But it was amazing. And reading a book now called My Dream of Heaven. It was written in the 1800s by a lady named Rebecca Springer.
Yeah.
And thank you. And she was very, very ill on her deathbed, and it was just basically a dream or a vision that she had. But even in that, whether it was dreamt or real or whatever it was, my view of heaven has completely changed, because I, again, was raised in a home where I continually just visualized the streets of gold mm-hmm. and the big, you know, giant clamshell for the gate. I mean, I did. And you know, and then
pearl, I believe
pearl,
it
yeah,
is.
The pearl, yeah, clamshell, but it's like, you know, that was the pearly gate, yeah, like a big yeah. clamshell
oh,
opening. I mean, I did. And see, I have issues, clearly. But
yeah,
it
yes,
you yes. as soon as you lose, you know, loss is hard, mm-hmm. no matter if you lose a parent or an aunt
yes.
or when you lose a child. I think you go to that level of, I remember my grandmother when my aunt passed away with melanoma cancer. I was 13 years old, and for some reason, I was the youngest of 9 grandchildren. She put her hands on my shoulders, and I remember walking into the room right after it happened. Everybody gathered at the house, and she just put her hands on my shoulders, and she said, no mother should ever have to bury a child. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was something mm-hmm. that God even prompted years ago for her to do to me, because I was going to, you know, bury a child. But my view of heaven, for some reason now, when I picture, I've asked Steve this before, it's like, is it wrong to want to see Maria more than I want to see Christ? I mean, does that, I mean, and you know, he immediately goes, he made you a mom. I mean,
that's a mother's heart.
And yeah. you know, and so I picture that first vision, that picture now is just Jesus standing there, and I see that little girl just tucked around his leg going, I know you need to meet him first, but I'm right here,
yeah.
you know. And I see that every day, and even sitting here today, I've had this mini revelation when I was sitting here that when my girls have gone through so much counseling, kind of replacing what they saw with really actually how she is in heaven, just to help them.
Yeah.
You know, she always got a picture of her dressed kind of as a fairy on her wall that she drew, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, what they witnessed that day. And every time I picture that day, because it is hard to get out of your mind. When I wasn't out there when she took off running toward Will, but every time I picture her now, I picture her running straight into the arms of Jesus. I don't picture anything horrific.
Yeah.
I just picture it like he was already there, right? And so she just kind of took off and headed home. And so it's very comforting. My view's completely changed. It's much more garden-esque and flowery,
well,
and not so cold and jewels yeah. saturated, but Stevie's version of heaven would be
right, or, yeah, a glitter girl.
Glitter girl.
The death of a loved one does give you different imagery
yeah.
of heaven. My mom and dad are there, and many uncles and aunts and grandparents and so on. And it does change it from something frightening to something glorious
yeah.
to know that there's going to be a reunion there. By the way, your spunkiness makes me think, Mary Beth, that even though Maria Sue was adopted, she's a whole lot like her mama, I
she
think.
She was.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, I muttered to myself a few minutes ago, there is ministry all over this conversation. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's what God had in mind. I don't know how to explain it, and I certainly wouldn't speak for him. But I know he is using you and is going to continue to use you mm-hmm. through choosing to see. That is a marvelous title. And what you've written there is going to relate to many, many people I know. And before I let you go, tell us about the facility you have built in China and what it's designed to do.
Yeah, would love to do that. A lot of you know, I've heard us talk about Show Hope. Anytime we get a microphone close to our faces, we're going to talk about orphans and adoption. And you know we've been able to help through an organization ministry called Show Hope. We've been able to help over 2,500 families now with their adoption journey with financial gifts from 45 different countries that we've been able to help bring families and children together and help build those bridges. And in the process of that, God's allowed us to, as we like to say, kind of roam the fields of the fatherless all over the world, but particularly in China, because that's where our heart, you know, just beats so strongly for the children there. And we have been privileged to partner with both some Christians there, a doctor lady and her husband, and really also the Chinese government. Just by the grace of God, we have this favor with the Chinese government, and we've partnered together to build a six-story facility. It's called Maria's Big House of Hope. We did a grand opening of it last summer. It wasn't originally, when it first started construction, it wasn't called that. But after Maria went to heaven, there was such an outpouring of love and support from people. And people, instead of sending flowers, we said, why don't you send, if you want to make a donation to Show Hope for us to help orphans, we'll set up a special fund in Maria's honor. And from that, we were able to complete the funding for the building and also the ongoing work of Maria's Big House of Hope. It takes care of about 140 special needs orphans there, some that we're able to get surgeries for, like we did just earlier this summer with the first medical surgical team that went over and did cleft palate and lip surgeries, and some children that, like little Tyler, that we just held in our arms about a month ago when we spent a month there as a family, and Mary Beth got to hold little Tyler in her arms, and our Stevie Joy got to kiss him on the head as he breathed his last few breaths of his four short years as a severely disabled child from cerebral palsy. And Stevie Joy kissed him on the head and whispered in his ear, tell Maria I love her and give her a hug. And about 2 minutes later, he was on the other side of the veil.
Well, the way God wants us to handle it is the way you all are dealing with it. You're letting God use it. And that's an invasion of your privacy. I ask you in my office, Mary Beth, if you were a private individual, because I perceive you that way, and you said that you were. And yet you have written a book talking about your childhood, talking about some of the tough things that you've gone through in high school and otherwise, and Stephen, and your relationship.
And wanting to marry an accountant and getting me instead.
But you have given it to the Lord, and he has chosen to bless it. And that is impressive. And thank you all for doing that and for being here with us today.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Oh my goodness, what an inspiring 3 days this has been to see how God walks with us even in the most difficult of circumstances. I cannot imagine what it would be like to receive a phone call at work that Lucy had been killed in a car accident. It would just break my heart and cause so much pain. Yet here are the Chapmans, a family who has served God their entire lives, still clinging to the hope that they have in Christ, with the confidence that the Lord is working this situation out for His good and glory. We've been listening to the conclusion of an interview between my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman here on Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and for those of you in our audience who find yourselves in a painful season of life, maybe you've lost someone dear to you, or you might have lost a child or had a miscarriage. Maybe you're in a different type of dark situation. If you need someone to talk to, Family Talk is here for you. We would love to pray with you and to connect you with a counselor in your area who can help. Give us a call, 877-732-6825. Once again, 877-732-6825. You are not alone in this. We are here to help you, encourage you, and to do whatever we can to walk with you through these situations you're dealing with. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.